This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, where we alter your locus really by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep you synced. The state is out of your head. Can you feel it, James Weeks?
Feeling it.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors, including Bill Pullman. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, was it yesterday, the Freedom Fiends was talking about how there's only two genders. I didn't get the chance to finish the whole episode because I'd just been too busy. Because I'm a busy guy doing busy things, mostly involving red wine.
Working on your career path?
Yeah, working on my career path. By the way, I have a GoFundMe page. I don't want to say the URL is too long. but I decided that wine cures cancer somehow or something. So I need to start on my path of being a sommelier by collecting $2,000 so I can have a 3-month wine bender so I can learn how to do it right. Hashtag please donate.
Well, I also have a GoFundMe. GoFundMe isn't as ambitious as yours. I just need new thongs and beer. And I'm only asking for $50.
But you've raised more money than I have.
Yep. Well, I think people would rather put new thongs on me than put wine in your belly.
Yeah, or Christmas lights on my forehead. That's really inside. Unless you already see my GoFundMe, it doesn't make any sense. But
nope.
So yeah. So anyways, yeah, they were talking about genders, how there's only two genders, and like MK Lords kind of jumped into the conversation on Face Beef because you know this show is Face Beef on the radio, and there was some discussion, and I also disagree with that position, but I'm not one of these people that are like, oh, there's 85 genders, and, you know, you have to respect everyone's pronouns, and you have to forget all that. I think that, for the most part, there's, like, everything's been, like, there's a gender binary. Like, you either have to believe that gender is binary, or that there's 52,000 of them, some of which include being an animal, or being a weaved basket. And if you don't respect those gender pronouns, you're, like, literally Hitler, and you need to be taken down and fired from your job and all that stuff. And that kind of, like, you have to be lumped between the two if you have any sort of nuance whatsoever. Like, even if you're down the center medium, everybody's going to think you're literally Hitler or literally, you know, an SJW terrible person. And I'm getting kind of tired of it because there actually is... There's like the scientific view, and then there's the normie views, and then the extreme left view of things. And you had a different opinion of it, and before you explain what it is, you should probably define your terms because someone might think that it's offensive to a certain class of groups. So I want you to define what you think it is first, and then make your declarative statement.
So you want me to define my terms before I make my statement? So just, I would have already made my statement. Okay. Well, I guess we're gonna have to define what a spook is. A spook would be just a ghost of your mind, something that doesn't exist in reality, just an idea, something that's not real, not a physical thing that's real, that actually exists in this reality, something that you think and think into existence. So it really is something that only exists in your mind. Would, I guess,
yeah, like
be the,
value.
The easiest way to describe it. It's like social constructs would be great examples of spooks. Things like that. And so gender is a spook. That's really all it is.
Okay. And you're definitely not talking about a certain group of a race, right?
I don't even think that slur's even still used like that.
Yeah, this isn't the 1800s.
I guess. So there is the spectrum, I guess. You know, you have the people that are two genders. There you have the people that are multiple genders. You have the people that gender is a spectrum, and then you have people like me where it's gender's a spook.
Mm-hmm. And for the most part, people who define themselves on the polar opposites of those account for more than 99.99% of people. I think it's only like 0.2% of people actually start kind of deviating out of those things, at least openly and admittedly. Some people kind of fall into, you know, some places kind of a little bit more to the middle, you know, but not maybe not in the middle than normal, that who would definitely identify something on the extreme. But for the most part, they're kind of outliers. But yeah, everybody kind of has their own kind of measure of where they are on that feminine masculine spectrum. Correct? Is that your kind of view or no?
Well, yeah, people have their own, you know, people have various amounts of femininity, masculinity, and it's just them. Mm-hmm. Be it, you know, being who they are, that's just how it is. You know, it's not something that makes you a different thing. It's just, that's just you. Yeah, you know, I don't know.
I mean, because I like beer and hockey as much as the next guy, and you know, UFC fights and all that stuff. I mean, I you know, that's definitely far on the masculinity side. But you know what? There's a soft spot in my heart for musicals. You know what I mean? But I don't dig on dudes. That's not my thing. Yeah. So. Yeah, so there definitely is a spectrum, and just say that there's only two, and you have to fall on either one, and if you're outside of that, you're just a crazy SJW. I think that also, too, is a spook.
Yeah, that is a spook.
Yeah.
A lot of things are, though. A lot of people are, a lot of people's minds are just haunted.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there was like an interesting Nature article that I kind of skimmed through. I just didn't have time to read because, again, you know, I really had to look into this whole 2005 mailback from Argentina yesterday. So I was really kind of investigating that. I take my GoFundMes very seriously. OK. So I had to investigate that bottle. Definitely. And it wasn't that good. It wasn't that good. Not going to name the brand, but yeah, and it had some interesting points in there, that there was something along the lines of like 1 out of 100 people kind of fall off of those dichotomies of the spectrum. And that's even more than I thought originally, because a lot of people who have like these weird kind of chromosome abnormalities, you know, where they're like XY, you know, XYY or XXY or XO or XXX on their chromosome. Mm-hmm. They're really like 1 out of like 100, like tens of thousands, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I thought it was a lot less common for that sort of thing to happen. But it seems as though 1 out of 100 is pretty high. I mean transgenderism is like 0.2% or something like that. So,
yeah, there's a lot of different abnormalities and stuff that happens with that.
Yeah.
Like you have people that will be chromosome, they'll be a male, but they'll have some kind of hormone imbalance during their development that causes them to never develop as a man. Mm-hmm. And they'll just, you know, go through life not realizing. And the only thing that's different really is that, you know, they're sterile. They don't they can't have children. That's like, other than that, they're exactly like a woman, but their chromosomes are not. You know? Yeah.
Sometimes they have higher or lower sex drives depending on what it is. But yeah, those are really kind of different abnormalities. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of express my view on it.
There's a lot of different abnormalities that exist that throw a lot of the "there are two gender" stuff kind of away, you know.
Yeah,
like there's way more than stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, when it comes to like trans people, for me, if someone's really taking the time and effort to making themselves appear as though they're a member of the other sex, I'm going to at least offer them just a monochrome of respect and just call them by, like, you know, he or she. If they start asking me to call them Zier or they or, you know, other kin, I'm going to no. I'm going to look at you and make a judgment, quick judgment. If you're wearing a dress and you're wearing lipstick, I'm going to call you a her. Just out of respect. If you ask for anything more out of that, then it's just like, okay, now you're just asking for too much for me. Because I don't speak that language. I don't speak whatever crazy talk you're talking about. I'm not interested in that. And I think maybe I'll fall out of favor with one of my co-hosts on my other podcast, Lulberts. But yeah, that's just kind of my opinion on it.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah,
yeah. I tend to use more gender-neutral pronouns. I guess I use like they and stuff like that.
Oh.
I don't know. Cuck. I realized I was doing it not that long in writing about things because of what I do for a living outside of this. This doesn't pay me anything, but what I do for a living, and I was reading over the stuff I was writing just by notes about various things, and I noticed that I, you know, pretty much exclusively use gender-neutral pronouns when discussing, you know, various clients and stuff like that. I don't think I've found myself ever using he or she in my notes.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to even tell, especially through text. If someone sends you an email and says, like, hi, my name is, you know, Sasha Cohen, and I'm writing to you on behalf of this business, and you're talking to them, and then you talk to, like, one of their clients, and you're saying, like, oh, yeah, Sasha's a wonderful lady. She's always been really nice to me, and it turns out, no, Sasha's a man's name, too.
Yeah, and then you look bad.
Yeah.
You offended him quite badly, yeah.
Did you just misgender me? But, you know... You know, and when you know, I work with people who are, let's just say, very confused, and it's not too often where I'll hear them refer to women, you know, as he or you know, in male pronouns, or refer to me as female pronouns. And it's not because they're trying to be like mean; it's just that they're at a state of mental unclarity that they're not able to tell the difference between male and female anymore. Because they're that confused now, or that they don't remember what those terms mean anymore. You know, there's that kind of thing too. So it's kind of at the point where, like, when I hear, like, one of the people that I work with, you know, say, like, you know, oh, you're a nice lady or whatever, and I'm just like, I'll just go, oh, okay, I just, you know, grit my teeth and bear it, whatever, I don't care.
It's pretty spooky.
Yep.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
More spooky stuff when we get back from market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
What the freedom thing? What people think the freedom beans are? Meow, meow, meow. What the freedom beans actually is? 30 people. Only 30 people will get that joke. So Michael sent us an article. Speaking of. speaking of Michael Dean, he sent us an article from the New York Times, which is a former newspaper, that says that Mexican newspaper shuts down, saying that it's too dangerous to continue. I haven't even looked at this, but he wants us to read it.
Well, so, let's check it out.
With a headline reading, Adios, in type in I gotta zoom this text in. It's too. Come on, man. Why are you making your text so small, New York Times? That's probably why no one's reading it anymore. With the headline audios in large type emblazoned across the front page, a newspaper in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, announced on Sunday that it was shutting down after nearly 30 years after three journalists from other news organizations were killed last month. Wow. The newspaper Norte said in a letter printed on its front page that the killings and increasing violence and threats against reporters meant that journalism had become a high-risk profession. Quote, today, dear reader, speaking to you to inform you that I have decided to close this daily because of the guarantee, for safety for us to continue journalism does not exist. The newspaper executive Oscar A. Cantu Mariga wrote, adding, quote, everything in life has a beginning and an end and a price to pay. If this is what life is like, I am not ready for one more of my collaborators to pay for it, and neither am I. And I am not either. Yeah, so I guess in Juarez, Mexico, things are violent. Did you know this?
Well, this is news to me.
Yeah. Yeah, things in Mexico aren't doing very well.
Okay.
Yeah, the announcement came after, why do they have to have weird names? Miroslava Breach, a person, a correspondent for the for the national newspaper La Jornada, see, I can read that, was shot eight times out of a garage on March 23rd. A columnist, Ricardi Malot, another person was shot to death after he left the restaurant with his wife and son on March 19th. And yet another person, a freelancer and founder of the Las Voz de Tierra Caliente, was killed at a car wash in some place. Why are these? Like, I'm really good at pronouncing Spanish names, but these ones are really tricky. Yeah. So Norte has been publishing for 27 years in Ciudad Juarez, a border city about 10 miles south of El Paso, Texas, and had had a circulation of about 30,000 daily and 35,000 on Sunday. I guess people still read newspapers in Mexico. This is news to me.
Cook.
Wait, you read the newspaper?
Who reads those? Who reads newspapers?
That's what the internet's for.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is kind of sad that, you know, there's not going to be, and it's, I'm sure they had an online publication as well. But it's sad to know that you're not going to get any kind of, it's going to be hard to get news out of places that are not very safe to report in, you know, and it doesn't help. I think they have heavy handed restrictions on gun in Mexico. Yet people get shot. I wonder how that works.
Direct you to the complaint department.
Yeah, the only time I ever have bought a newspaper in recent years is when my name is in it. That's the only time I buy it.
I buy newspaper if I'm going to be doing like a crab bake or a crab boil, and I need to line my table with newspaper so I can eat crab and not ruin my table. That's about it.
Yeah, I buy it when my name's in it, and then take the page out that has my name in it and use the rest for wrapping paper.
Yeah, it's also really good, like, packing material. You know, mm-hmm. for, like, 25 cents, you can just ball up a bunch of newspaper and put it in a box. And it'll basically keep your item safe when you ship it. You know, and then people have reading material. People have reading material once they get your package. They're like, wait a minute, I only get my knickknack, but I could also read about how James Weeks got naked
at the convention. Yeah, they could read that after they get that. They really need to have newspapers that are just like the funnies for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think
newspapers should be free.
Yeah.
Newspaper should be free, and there should be advertisements in it. And I think that'll probably save it, because no one's going to.
Aren't there advertisements in it?
Yeah. That means they suck. Still charging money for a newspaper. The Onion was free.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Mexico.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
go-go freedom fiends.
Freedom fiends, helping the helpless.
Freedom fiends,
saving the universe.
Freedom fiends,
doing the things that I've
taking the world from the state, fighting the forces of hate.
Freedom fiends,
helping the helpless.
Freedom fiends,
kicking the hornet's nest.
Freedom fiends,
doing the things that I've
keeping
could.
The tasers away, you should be free, not a slave. You'll hear the truth today. Yeah, we will not force you to stop in the cops on the block for the fiends on the block. Ain't never gonna stop in the glass go blow.
So, we were reading this article from the New York Times, a former newspaper, about how the violence that's happening down in Mexico, and it's causing one of the newspapers to close its close its doors because a lot of their reporters are getting killed because of the
maybe
violence.
They should stop snitching.
Yeah. You know, you're going out and you're like talking about how bad these cartels are, and they're like, "Man, why are these snitching?"
Snitches. Did they not think that was going to happen?
Yeah. Well. Oh well. I think there's a big solution to solve most of the crime problem that's happening in Mexico. At least on the border cities, and it's really easy. It's really easy, and this is end the war on drugs, because a lot of these cartels are being funded through drug monies, right? Mm-hmm. And if you legalize the market, which by the way, you're not ever going to keep drugs out of the United States ever. I don't care how tall your wall is or how deep it's built, people are going to get drugs in.
Yep.
Like when you hear about all these busts that happen in Florida, with, you know, like, oh, we caught this boat and it has like 40 kilos of cocaine on it. Okay, that's just one half of 1% of all the other shipments that are coming into the U.S. So you're basically you killed like what 45 kilos from getting into the country. Great job, pat on the back. Everybody's clapping, and they're going to destroy all these drugs and, you know, use all the money to buy more police infrastructure. Great. But while you were doing that and spending all your time and effort on doing that, you let like 45,000 kilos into the country,
right?
by not covering all of your bases. And the only way that you can enforce a drug policy is to have complete totalitarianism. That's it. So all these drug cartels are making huge amounts of money smuggling drugs across the border, and that's how they're making their money. And of course, they're unscrupulous because it's also illegal in those countries as well. And so, you know, they have to fall into the hands of the black market. If they were in a white market, or even maybe a gray market, they were in the hands of the white market, you know, they would be like, well, I'm not going to do business with shady people. We're going to produce it ourselves. We're going to hire people with full wages. We're going to, you know, make sure that the product is clean and tested. We're going to make sure that the dosages are consistent, so that way people don't have accidental overdoses, because that's how overdoses happen. It's too strong, and people don't realize it, and they take their normal dose, and then it's like five times stronger than they normally get. They get five times more, and that's enough to stop their heart. You know, so you have all these kind of consistencies, and everything is above board. Everything is, you know, like everything is even if you don't believe in government regulations, which I don't, you know, there still will be regulatory agencies who will be able to look over these things, voluntary, of course, and make sure that these things are clean and everything's above board and no one's getting shot and killed or taken out back. And if there are, you know, that'll be exposed publicly, and that'll do a lot of damage to the reputation. I can't speak tonight. I don't know. I can't say words. Am I having a stroke? And that's how you can solve all this stuff. Because if they don't have the money to fund their operations, what are they going to do? I think the only thing that they can do is sex trafficking, which there's a cure for that too. But yeah. What say James Weeks?
Well, drugs.
Just do them?
You know, the cartel stuff is rather silly.
Mm-hmm.
They need to, you kind of went over it all already, though. I don't really have anything new to add to that.
You know what I hate about Twitter? Like, back in the day, I used to be really, really long-winded about things. So I can go on and on forever. But then Twitter happened, and I have to condense everything that I say into 140 characters. So now I learned how to be concise. Now I can't fill a whole radio segment with these ideas. Thanks, Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter ruined you. Yeah. I don't know. You filled it pretty good. But yeah, the cartel violence and stuff, you see, we saw that all the time with drug prohibition. Mm-hmm. Or alcohol prohibition, where you know you had the mafia violence and stuff like that going in there, running their business, and you know all of that pretty much disappeared
overnight.
As soon as alcohol prohibition was over, it just boom, poof, gone.
The 21st amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah, it poof got rid of all that. Yeah. All that, you know, the Al Capone gunning people down in the street kind of stuff. All of that went away right there. That was surrounding the alcohol industry. So, you know, you could easily get rid of all the cartel violence and gang violence and stuff surrounding the drug business by just following the lessons we already learned. Because that violence wasn't there before alcohol prohibition, and it ended after it. And the drug violence wasn't there before drug prohibition, and it won't be there after. So it's very easy to end the gang violence in America and across the world, really, is just worldwide decriminalization or legalization of all drugs, including the scary ones.
It's really interesting how between the passage of the 18th Amendment and the 21st Amendment, there was this really high spike in crime, and then it dropped off when the 21st Amendment came out. Kind of interesting, you know, the correlation does not cause causation, but I think here there's a pretty strong case that it does.
I don't think anyone can actually argue that that wasn't the cause. I'd like to see someone try and argue that alcohol prohibition wasn't the cause of the rise of criminal gangs becoming, you know, alcohol smugglers and shooting people up for getting in their territory and stuff like that. Oh, my God.
There still is a prohibition party. They're still in existence. It's the same one that they had back in the day. There still is a prohibition party, and I've heard them say that the prohibition was the greatest time in America's history. Because they really thought nobody was getting drunk. No, everybody was getting drunk. It didn't put a dent in it. In fact, I think it actually increased people using it, because now it was cool. You know, like, we're not supposed to do this? Awesome, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there kind of is that kind of mentality going on in with marijuana. Like, people smoke weed not because, you know, like, you know, because it makes them feel good. There was a lot of people who smoked weed just because it was the cool thing to do, because you weren't supposed to do it. And then when there was a lot of states that legalized it, like, there was an increase in use initially because, you know, like, all those people who didn't want to do it because it was illegal and they didn't want to get in trouble for it gave it a couple of tries and they said, I don't like it. And then it just dropped below the amount of people who were using it originally. How many people were saying that they didn't do it who did during those questions is because they were too high and paranoid to to admit that they did it to a random surveyor? Who knows? But it's probably safe to say that it's probably average or maybe a little bit higher than it was before. But now that it has dipped down way below use, because it's not cool, man. It's, I can go and buy it at a store. What, that's not cool, man. I want to try something new. Yeah.
It's not cool.
Yeah, if you could go down to a crack dispensary and you have to go through ID checks and make sure everything is safe and clean, and you know they don't allow people to you know beg for money outside of it, people are going to be like, man, crack is whack. I'm allowed to do it and I can buy it at a store. This is lame, and the market will pop. The bottom of the market will probably definitely drop out, because I can't imagine people wanting to do crack if they have access to you know, the drugs that they want to do. And that kind of cool factor of it's being illegal is gone. Taboo has a marketplace.
It does. It does. Yeah. And making things illegal puts them in that taboo marketplace where people who wouldn't normally do it will want to do it. And the big problem with that is you'll have a lot of people who will try it and then keep trying it. Yep. Because they'll be like, oh, man, this is a cool thing to do. You do see that a lot, even though cigarettes are legal, you do see that a lot with cigarettes because they're not legal for when people start smoking them. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got to keep that in mind, too. But, you know, you have, you know, the kids that, oh, I can't, it's illegal for me to smoke. I'm not 18 yet. And they'll think it's cool and start smoking, and then boom, there they are.
Yeah, know, now the thing is
20 years later, sucking down, you know, 2 packs of Camel non-filters a day.
Camel, cock. It's all about the Lucky Strikes unfiltered.
You know, they don't really have those around by me. They used to. They kind of. I don't see those anymore.
Back when I used to smoke, I was all about those Lucky Strikes.
Yeah,
I quit. Yeah. But not unfiltered. I wasn't that hardcore. Sorry.
I smoked unfiltered Lucky Strikes for a while and unfiltered Camels. I started rolling my own.
Yeah. Yeah. But the other thing is if you but you know if we legalize drugs, so you know all the school kids will do them. But it's like when I was younger, it was harder for me to get cigarettes and alcohol than it was for me to get pot or LSD or mushrooms. Like, it was super simple because the people that I was buying those things from didn't check my ID. They didn't care. They were just like, oh, it's just harmless weed and shrooms, whatever. I'll just, you know, sell it to, you know, some 12-year-old kid. Who cares? He's going to do it anyway. And if I don't give it to him, he's going to get it from someone else. But, you know, if it was sell at a store whose store is like reliant on their reputation for being good stewards of the community, they're not going to be selling selling anything towards to kids. They're going to be like, no, get out of here.
I had a store that used to sell to me. Yeah. I was a kid.
I'm not naming any names, but that may have happened to me as well. I'm not saying what I'm saying. But yeah. even
there are the cool stores.
Yeah. But even still, it was really hard for me to get it. It was even easier for me. Even all things considered, it was easier for me to go to my neighbor's house who sold weed than it was for me to go to that store, wait for all the other weirdo customers to leave, and then go, hey, man, ready? Yeah, all right. Yeah, it still seemed kind of sketchy, and sometimes they were like, oh, man, like, we almost got popped the other day. Let's just not do it. So there was always that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was always kind of sketchy, but yeah.
It's way easier to buy a black market things than there is to buy, mm-hmm. I guess you could call it a gray market thing, like buying cigarettes or alcohol underage is much easier to buy just straight black market stuff.
Yep. So, yeah, if you really want kids not to do drugs.
Kids have better access to crack cocaine than they do a pack of Lucky Strikes.
Oh, yeah. If you want to talk about non-discriminatory dealers, man, crackheads will sell you anything to anybody.
Kids will be able to buy some stolen appliances and crack easier than they will a pack of smokes.
You bought a rock, man. I got this awesome sound stereo. Where'd it come from? Man, don't ask me that. Meow.
Meow.
More legal crack when we come back from the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link at the top right, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it.
Morty. We got to bring back the Szechuan chicken sauce. It was the best, Morty. It was the best, Morty. It was so good.
Even so if it takes nine seasons, Morty. years.
So tell us about Rick and Morty and the Szechuan chicken craze that's happening because of it.
Well, Rick and Morty is the greatest show ever made in the entire history of all of humanity and the known universe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
it's not arguable.
It's not debatable. And on April Fool's, they released a teaser episode or special. I'm not sure if it's officially part of the season three or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the first episode.
Is that supposed to be the very first? Yeah. It's not like a special. I don't know. But
yeah, they're gonna air it, but they were airing it early.
Okay.
Yeah, for April Fool's Day. For April Fool's Day, they were announcing that they were gonna stream something, and that was a joke. But what it really was airing was the first episode of the new season of Rick and Morty, which is even better.
Which is better than anything they possibly could have done. But the episode was basically a giant McDonald's commercial.
unpaid
for a Szechuan chicken sauce that McDonald's released for Mulan back in 98.
I think it was 2000. I'm gonna look that up now. Go ahead.
I got it pulled up. It's
98. Okay.
We have very important news from Business Insider. McDonald's chef says he's looking into bringing back Szechuan chicken or Szechuan McNugget sauce after a cartoon called for its return.
Nice. It's not going to take nine seasons, Morty. it's already happening.
McDonald's chef says he's looking into bringing back a cult classic McNugget sauce after a cartoon demanded its return. On Saturday, Adult Swim aired the first new episode of Rick and Morty since 2015 as an April Fool's Day treat for their loyal fans. The episode ended with a plea from the mad scientist Rick for McDonald's to bring back its Szechuan McNugget sauce, a plum sauce that was available for a limited time in 1998 to promote the movie Mulan. I am not driven by avenging my family. Rick says the episode is closing business. I'm driven by finding that McNugget sauce. You should read it. You do the voice. Did you have the article? Do I send this to you?
I'm
going to have to send it to you real quick. You got to get this pulled up ASAP.
All right.
All right. I got the article sent to you, so you can read this point, and I'll keep them distracted while you get that pulled up.
Why did I click your GoFundMe link?
Also, please donate. Please donate. Yeah.
There we go.
I'm not driven by avenging my dead family, Rick says. I hate these things. No, I don't want to do it. Do it now. I have to turn my ad blocker off.
Oh, jeez. I don't have to turn my ad blocker off on this. They didn't make me do that.
Pause ad block. Go back. Do you know what? This is always so annoying. Look, your bad business model is not my problem.
Yeah.
Figure out a better way to monetize your blog. Anyways, I'm not avenging my dead family. Rick says in the episode in the closing minutes.
I'm driven by finding that McNugget sauce. I want that Mulan chicken nugget sauce. That's my series arc, Morty. If it takes me nine seasons, I want that McNugget Szechuan sauce.
After the episode, it became clear that Rick and Morty fans and writers were just as determined as Rick to bring back the sauce, and that McDonald's might be open to their demands. A Change.org petition calling for the return of the sauce received more than 13,000 signatures by Monday morning. As a corporate chef at McDonald's tweeted at Business Insider's Ashley Lutz, he said, I'll see what I can do. Meow. Did you get drone there?
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, what happened?
Big lubba lubba dub dub!
Well, here's to you, McDonald's chef, Mike. I don't know how to say your last name. See what you can do.
Lubba lubba dub dub! That's my new saying, Morty. That's my new saying.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Broadcasting from high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the Lip Pair Satellite 2017 or something. Freedom is streams are covered by Bipcot. No government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors like Bill Pullman. You can learn more at Bipcot.org.
You kids. You zany kids.
Zany.
All right. So I just sent you my... So did you guys talk about your fundraisers?
Yep.
Allegedly...
Okay. and I like this image you sent me about gender. I'm gonna talk a little more about gender because I have facts and opinions. I have opinions and I have facts because I talked to a scientist today and got his, I wouldn't even say opinion, his the facts. And so, but check your emails. I sent you my fundraising thing. It's something.
Oh, I already saw it. Yeah.
Oh. Well, read about it.
CussFreeLiberty.org.
Ooh,
yeah. Is this a redirect to the GoFundMe?
No, there's a GoFundMe too. If you go to that site and go to the donate page, there's a link to the GoFundMe I just started.
Oh.
And oh. The time I was gone, I finished building the app, uploaded it to Amazon, made sure the site was working, made sure the streaming was working, uploaded more streaming files. And then set up a GoFundMe, which I've never done. It's kind of cool. I like it. It's nifty.
Nice.
Yeah. Nifty. I also have a Patreon now. I have five Patreons, patrons, patriots.
Five patriots?
Yeah. A total of $36 or something like that. I forget, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have nine of them.
Well, how long have you been doing it? I'm doing it a week.
Longer.
Yeah.
But you're probably making a little bit more than me, so.
I'm making 36 bucks for my five. What are you making from yours?
32. But I have this hidden at the moment, yeah.
So you have a bunch of people giving you $2 donations, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that was one of the things I was pushing for a while was if you donate $2, you get access to the podcast. And then I just was like, anyone who donates more than a dollar.
I'm making $38 and you don't get anything. You get some fiends buttons and stickers and you get, no one's taken me up on the second part yet, which is I'll record an outgoing answering machine message for you.
What's voicemail? I heard about this.
What do you mean? What's voicemail?
I don't know what voicemail. Voicemail? What is that?
Voicemail?
Is that the thing that I have to clear out?
Jim has 7,000 messages waiting for him. He doesn't know they're there.
Is that the thing I just automatically delete to get rid of that icon from my phone?
Yes. Okay. You know, one time, Davi Barker and I were doing a show on here one time, and we were like, I was like, what's, you know, we're doing the usual freedom, you know, internet on the radio that is the Freedom Fiends. And I was like, what's this button, Davi, next to messages on Facebook? And he's like, I don't know, let's click it. And we both had like 300 messages. It's messages from like people that aren't your Facebook friends that just write you anyway. And it was all complaining. half of it was spam. The other half was like, I don't like what you said on the show of April 17th, you know, last year.
So don't listen.
Yeah, we started reading some of them. We're just like, this is ridiculous, man. We stopped doing it. So, but what I've done is, I love LRN, but you really don't want to, I think, broadcast LRN on a community radio station. You know, let's say one of those don't ask for permission kind of radio stations, because LRN is all cussing. And my new theory, I have a new theory, which is if you're going to do community radio, do it without cussing. Because if you can make it sound to a casual channel surfer, you know, to some cranky square person surfing on the radio channel, if they hear it and then keep going, you don't want them to stay on it. You don't want that person to say, oh my God, they're cussing. I must snitch. You know, so I think if you can make it sound as much like a normal talk radio station, but actually be Liberty stuff, then that's worth doing. I talked to Ian Freeman about doing that, and he's like, nope, LRN is what it is. And
yep.
So I started my own with Blackjack and Hookers, but without the Hookers or Blackjack.
Well, you have Blackjack and Hookers. They just don't cuss.
Yeah.
They're cuss-free Blackjack and Hookers.
It's not like GGG rated. You know, it's still going to have Freedom Fiends episodes where we talk about the things we talk about that are probably PG, but there's going to be no cussing words in there. So it's I like it. It's up and running. I made an Android app which has been submitted. Is it up pending? No, it's not up. It's pending publication. So this website exists. You can go to it and you can send your, you know, 6-year-old cousin that doesn't like cussing, or her mom doesn't want you to have cussing around her, and you can send it to your 80-year-old grandpa who doesn't like cussing, and you can play it on the radio. And when some 80-year-old grandpa hears it, he's not going to want to snitch as much. So nice. There it is, man. Cussfreeliberty.org. Cussfreeliberty.org. Oh, by the way, speaking of being contacting governments, I have something to say, gentlemen. It's word.
Oh.
Word.
It's not an April Fool's joke, is it?
No, it's not.
Word.
I was contacted by the government today after I butt dialed 911. You ever butt dialed? I was rushing to get out the door to pick my wife up at the airport from coming back.
How do you even do that?
From her daughter's wedding. Well, every phone is required by law, apparently, to be able to call 911 without entering the passcode or the pass swipe. You know, so like, I guess the idea is if somebody is in an emergency situation and the only phone there is somebody else's phone, they can still call 911. There's a little thing on the bottom of the front of your phone. When your phone's locked and you can't get into it, you can still swipe and it calls 911. And I just like, I guess I was in a hurry, so I didn't like tap it twice to get rid of, you know, to deactivate the buttons on it and stuff. And I just threw it into my bag with, you know, everything I take to the airport. And I'm like getting in the car and I hear this woman's voice and I'm like, oh, did I accidentally call my wife? And I know she's still on the plane. What is this? And I just like let it go and I started driving and then my phone rang and I was like, what is this? Maybe it's my wife and her plane's late or something. And I pulled it out and it was 911 calling me, which apparently I looked this up. This is what happens if you call 911 and hang up. They talk to you and they ask you questions to their satisfaction to determine it's not an emergency. And if you don't answer those, there's a whole Reddit thread on this. If you don't answer those to their satisfaction, they send a car by your house. So, I really didn't want that. So I answered, she just wanted my name and address. I gave it to her, but it was creepy and weird. I guess it's, you know, for our safety, but it was a little.
I can see why, because there's times where people will call 911 and someone who's like attacking somebody will like grab the phone.
Well, actually, I was thinking about that too. Like, how does she know that didn't happen? Because basically, you know, they called, there was no answer. Then they called and there was an answer, and there's like, a ruffling, you know, like a probably sound of me pulling it past clothing in my bag.
Yeah.
It could easily sound like, you know, I'm holding a woman hostage. She gets my phone while I'm in the bathroom, calls 911, and I wrestle it out of her hands and say, oh, there's no problem here, you know. But they were satisfied, and it was very, very strange. I did some Googling on this. This is kind of interesting. In most places now, in America at least, between 30% and 50% of calls to 911 are butt dials.
They probably get it a lot then. Yeah. Well, I can see that with the way that the phones are set up. Then I'd never realized that.
And it's you know what it too. It's next to the on my phone. It's next to the button on your screen to take a picture without unlocking your phone. Can you guys take a picture without unlocking your phone?
Yeah. I have the Galaxy, which all I have to do is just press the enter button twice and it goes automatically into picture mode, but I can't go into like the pictures that I've already taken while it's locked. Right. I can only delete the ones that I just took while in unlocked mode. Yep. It's nice. I love it.
That's how I think a lot of them are like that. Is that how yours is, James?
I don't know. I haven't tested that out. I usually unlock my phone before I try and do things.
And I guess this doesn't have a lot to do with liberty, except I guess the liberty takeaway would be in the absence of a one-size-fits-all monopolistic government, you got to do this or you can't be in business kind of thing with phones. I think you'd have the option of, you know, do you want the phone? No, I'm a risk taker. I want the phone where I'm not going to butt dial 911 and where I have to actually enter my passcode to get in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess it's so like, you know, I was trying to think of scenarios where you'd need that. Like, you know, maybe the attacker has cut off both your arms and your legs and you're like, you can dial it with your nose or something or your tongue or your wiener. I don't know.
So automatically dials when you swipe when it's locked?
Yes. Look at your phone, like lock it, tap it so it, you know, shows light. And there should be a thing on there, bottom right on mine.
Mine just has a phone, but my screen's not locked yet. My screen lock doesn't, it times in after a while of inactivity. It doesn't lock away when I blank the screen.
We'll check
so
in
I
the
next
segment. So
I need to check in the next segment.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just leave my phone alone and check in the next, because I just unlocked it to look at it.
Yeah. So I guess that's why we took a whole segment to talk about don't butt dial your phone or the police might show up.
I remember when I was a kid, I once going through like a really young kid, I went through a prank calling phase.
I went through a prank calling phase with the girl who's the town I lived in, Westfield, New York, was the first town. It had the longest running privately owned phone company in America at that point when I was a kid. And we were friends with the rich family who owned the phone company. They were like the Kennedys of my small town, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I was hanging out with the girl who, her dad owned the phone company, and we were making prank calls at her house.
Well, I prank called 911 when I was
What happened?
They showed up.
Wow. Yeah,
I remember two cars showed up at the house.
I was very dedicated to making prank calls. I even went to Radio Shack and bought one of those things that attaches to your phone so you can record phone conversations.
So this was before I could even go to Radio Shack to buy things.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow. It's that good, people.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BipCut.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BipCut t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BipStrong bracelets, BipCut stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BipCut. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BipCut.org. That's BipCut.org.
I think I did that once 4 years ago, and Jim just lapsed on it.
So we should probably explain the joke, because I actually made the joke earlier, which was what the Freedom Fiends, what people think the Freedom Fiends are.
Meow, meow, meow.
What it actually is.
Yeah.
And the joke is that every time I usually hop on Fiend Phone before everybody. Like, I usually get on 30 minutes before, like right after it resets.
Yeah.
And you want us to be on 10 minutes before. So I'm usually sitting in here before. And then as soon as Michael logs on, the first thing he does one of two things. He either goes, or he goes, or something like that.
Okay.
And so I usually just do it back as soon as he logs in. I'm like, back whatever he does, I do it back at him. And I just notice a pattern that it's mostly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well.
So it's been like a running joke between me and James.
That does lead to my discussion on gender, and I'm going to make at some point in my conversation tonight, in this conversation.
My preferred pronoun is
If I could spell that, that'd be the name of the show, but. Put some G's and Z's.
You got to have a way to spell out a little bit of.
Okay, you worked on that. You worked on that, James. All right, James. Well, I'm gonna make a make an ad hominem somewhere in this show. I've already planned it, but you guys don't point it out. I'm just gonna do it and let it slide. But I'm gonna admit it ahead of time preemptively. So
a preemptive ad hominem.
Is this? Yeah.
All right.
So I made this. I saw this image. You know, there's this thing of a list of all the new genders. It looks like a list of Pokemon or something, but it's all,
you gotta
these,
catch them,
you know,
all.
Like it's like the male. Yeah. It's like the male symbol, the classical male symbol and the female symbol in the top left corner. And then like 30 or more other things that look like, you know, Native American hieroglyphics, cave paintings or something.
There's a comment on, hold on. There's one comment on here that says that it looks like a nautical flag signaling chart.
It really does. And somebody else, it looked like something in Pokemon. I don't know what it was, but it's basically like the hidden Pokemon symbols. There's a whole list of them. And it kind of looks like runes. You know, there are things for like bi-gender, female and male. That's one. Bi-gender, androgyne, and neutral. I can't even pronounce some of these. So I saw this, and there was a meme somewhere that someone had circled the male and female and said genders, and circled the rest of it and said mental illnesses. And I thought that was kind of harsh. But I really do think that a lot of cultural Marxism goes with this whole kind of thing. I don't care what people do. I don't care. You know, we have established and proven, and we're going to talk about in the next segment about how we've proven that gender is a social construct. Sex is not. There are basically five sexes, actually, that are variations of chromosomal variations of two sexes. And the others are very rare. And the people who say they have other genders are like a lot more. It's like 3% of the country of America says they're some other form of this, and the actual incidence of it biologically is like 0.25%, 1 in 400. Yep. So
the nap is also a social construct, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've established that.
Okay,
it's a good guideline, but I don't even see this as a good guideline.
It's a spook.
Yep. And it's weird. Like, I have friends that are gay who think, you know, I'm like, how many genders are there? And they're like, two. It's just. So I made this thing today and shared it.
That's pretty spooky.
Click on the link I sent you of that says shares and tell me how many shares this has had.
151.
151 shares in like, you know, a day.
It's popular.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also got a lot of people really mad. And like people were like quitting. I posted on Punk Rock Libertarians. That's where it got all the shares. And a lot of people got really mad about it. And like, I'm leaving. I used to like this site, but I'm the page, but I'm leaving, you know, which is part of my job there is to like drive people away and bring people in, I guess.
It's virtue signaling about virtue signaling.
There you go. What, when someone leaves?
Usually when people say that like they're virtue signaling, they're virtue signaling about someone else virtue signaling. It's kind of a useless term. But usually when people are talking about like, it is. So when I say like, I'm upset that someone is virtue signaling, what you're doing is you're saying, hey everyone, I don't find it virtuous that people virtue signal and this person's doing it. Therefore I'm better than them. It's virtue signaling.
I don't believe in the existence of virtue signaling though, but what you just said is true.
No. What? That's how I don't believe in it. It's circular logic.
It's a spook. That's racist.
Advocating the nap is virtue signaling.
Now.
Freedom. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Meow. No agenda.
Meow. Meow.
Puss puss.
Meow, meow.
My cat knocked my pill mugger on the floor today. And I spent like 20 minutes trying to find every pill. I found every pill, but I'm like, man, this crap could kill a cat. You know, like a half of blood pressure. A human blood pressure medicine would not be good for a cat. No. All right, so, but I found them all. So, because I care about my kitties. Yeah, so we're talking about agendas, but we're going to talk about phones for a sec because we promised it and we're going to pay it off. So your phone went to sleep and then you woke it up and you almost butt dialed 911.
Yeah, when I swiped up on when the phone was locked and I swiped up on the little phone icon they had up there, it came up with a button that said emergency call.
Yeah, you know, I've seen that, but I've never really thought about it. I guess I've never really thought that I could use it. So, I mean, really, like, if I had to call 911, you know, not to call the cops, but to call emergency services, you know, like for bleeding to death or something, it would be my stop snitching on your bleeding to death. Just bleed to death. You'd be a good libertarian. That's funny. That's like what most people think liberty is. Oh, if you're a good libertarian, you don't call 911, you're bleeding to death. You just sit there and die. But I think my intuition would actually be, even after all this ordeal, I think if I was physically able, I would probably pick my phone up and sign in and then call 911.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they take your name and address and, you know, then they're like satisfied that there's no trauma and they let you go. But I wonder if that's also compiling a list, like if they start charging you after the third butt dialer or something. I'll bet they do.
Probably I'd be surprised. Do.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking
about probably going to get a strange bill when you're time.
It'll say social contract. $89. Right.
Don't you already pay a 911 tax when you have a phone anyway? Because I noticed that on my bill. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, if you actually use it, you have to pay more. probably.
So what's the point of having the tax?
It's just
to charge the people that use it.
All right, so genders. So we're talking about genders. So I made this thing. So there was some interesting comments on this. Like, apparently people aren't familiar with memes because, you know, they aren't familiar with hyperbole or humor. Because there were people who were like, you know, one of the responses to this thing of the male and female sign being circled and saying genders and the other 85 things that look like hieroglyphics I circled and said socialism. Somebody's comment on it was, yes, I too confuse sex with gender and hate liberty. I thought that was pretty funny. But so confusing sex with gender. So until 1955, sex and gender were interchangeable terms. And there's a sexologist. That's an interesting job description and term. A sexologist named John Money. How rock and roll? How ghetto is that? How street is that, man? How hard is that? John Money.
I have to say that there's a guy that makes really great absinthe, and his name is Ted Bro. I have to say that that's probably an awesome name too. Yeah.
So John Money is the guy who came up with the phrase, with the idea of gender, you know, and sex being different things. So there's something else that people should know about John Money. I'm reading this from Wikipedia. He stated that sexual researchers and the public do not make distinctions that they should between affectional pedophilia and sadistic pedophilia. He asserted that affectionate pedophilia was about love and not you. I can't even read this. Just ugh, ugh. So yeah, I'm not even going to say that's none of my business. I'm going to say ew.
Yeah.
And you know,
none of my business.
It's none of my, well, that's a joke.
Inside baseball.
Yeah, that's inside baseball. Yeah, but so he had the view that affectionate pedophilia is caused by a surplus of parental love and is not a behavioral disorder. Rather, he took the position that heterosexuality is another example of societal and therefore superficial ideological concept. Wait, he says that heterosexual is a made up concept, man. Sexologists are weird people. So
Everything's a spook. Didn't you know that?
Okay, spook. Explain that again for the people that weren't on in the first hour, because we do have two stations.
What's okay. A spook is basically it's a ghost in your mind. It's just an idea. It's something that doesn't actually exist in reality. It's just something that you believe into a false existence through your own nonsense, basically.
Yeah, so it's made up nonsense. So my... Yeah, another comment like of some hater on libertarian hater on punk rock libertarians who didn't like this and said they were leaving that page because of this meme I made. They said that he said you'd think that libertarians would be open minded about people's genders. Here's the thing, I don't have a problem with people calling themselves these things and living as these things. Yeah, I have a problem with the cultural Marxism that goes along with it. The like teeth grittingly angry in your face, I'm better than you, that goes with it with a lot of people. And also the like, you must learn my special unique snowflake name, and if you don't use it, you're a fascist. That's a really common thing too. Here's the thing. I lived in ground zero for this. I lived in San Francisco from 1985 until 2001. Was that 24, 25, 26? I don't know, 20 some years. And hung out with a lot of gay people, had a lot of gay friends. My band played a lot of gay bars. We were kind of a favorite of gay rockers because most gay bars are disco. And in San Francisco, there were like three or four out of the like 80 gay bars there, like three or four of them were rock bars. And they had my band a lot because we were cute and shirtless and would do crazy things on stage and were gay friendly. And one of the guys was bi in the band, like, actively bi. I was a little bi, but one guy was actively bi. And so I've been around a lot of gay people. I've been around a lot of trans people. I've been around a lot of cross-dressing people. It was never an issue. Like, I never heard any of the kind of like screeching, the autistic screeching that goes with all this now. You know, I think this is something that someone decided to attach to this.
Yeah, I really don't care what people call themselves, but when they're starting to, because there's a few places where this is happening, where they're bringing down the state on people who don't participate.
Canada. Like,
if
Canada.
Yeah.
This conversation could get us arrested in Canada.
Yeah.
Can we broadcast a little bit into Canada?
Yep. I can see, but I definitely don't agree with saying that, like, you can't say something, right, on a college campus. But there's another thing going on there where it's not that you can't say something; it's that you have to say something.
Right.
And that's what makes it one step more, even worse.
Yeah,
So I mean, it's bad versus really bad.
And there's actually a fiend. I'm not going to name the fiend, but there's a fiend who's like not sure if they can be. I'm going to say they're the because if I say she, there's only three of them, so you might narrow it down. But there's they preferred pronoun for the moment, and an anonymous pronoun they aren't sure they can still be on this show because what was the phrase? We are. Normies about gender.
Yeah. That's I'm not a normie about gender.
Yeah.
I'm
a realist.
Well, you showed me a video today that, like, you know, I didn't go, oh my God, now I see the truth. I just didn't. And it's not even like I didn't know all the facts. I knew that there were biological aberrations, but, you know, like one was there's like XXX and OOO, I think it is. There's like super women, which are like women that are usually very tall that have like an extra woman chromosome. And there's people that have, and then there's chimera. What is the word? Chimera. People that have like, you know, basically like an absorbed twin that's in their body, but not, you know, like, a fetus kind of in them. It's like in every part of their body, to where, like, I saw a CSI about that I had to Google, and it's true. There are people, like, this is like one in several million, but there are people that you can take a blood draw from them and do a DNA test, and you can take another blood draw 5 minutes later from them and get completely different familiar male-female DNA results. Like, there are people that have their... You know, their zygote absorbed their fraternal twin zygote. It's very strange. Yeah, there was someone that like beat a murder rap on CSI because of that. And I was like, that can't be true. And I looked it up and it is. But the all of those combined, all of the, you know, different non-XY or what is it? What's male and what's female? XX and XY?
Yeah.
XY.
I don't know which one's which.
Yeah,
XX is female.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And XY is male. So, you know, that's most of the population, but there are three other derivations plus the chimera. But all of those combined make up one in 400 people. So 3% of the people are claiming to be something other than, you know, cis male or female. But it's actually like 0.25% of people are biologically that. So a lot of people in my mind are playing imagination. They're having a big, healthy imagination.
And well, that's not necessarily true though. That's just how they express themselves.
Yeah. So I have the biological, the biologist, opinion or facts on this. So I asked Kevin McKernan, our friend who's a DNA scientist, who runs a multi-million-dollar DNA company, owns over 50 patents on DNA-related stuff. The fiends brought him to Liberty, too. He still owns patents, but most of them are like defensive patents. Like, he actually was the first person to sequence the marijuana genome, and he patented it and gave the patent away. So like, no government or pharmaceutical company could own the patent on marijuana. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
because patents are those one things that you, people can kind of squat if you don't get.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
sue you for it. You can't do that with you can't do that with like copyright material. That's like one of the excuses I know that.
Yeah, you can't squat it.
That. Why?
And you cannot cannot squat trademarks either. They have to be used to be defensible.
Yeah.
So. He was on the Human Genome Project. He is a heavy hitter with it. And when we get back, we'll have the DNA scientists answer about chromosomes and gender and sex. When we get back, sex.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
You know what that sound means? That sound means I am alive.
Nice.
Yep, I am nice. All right, nice. Oh, my app is up. So my app, Cuss Free Liberty Radio is the name of the app. And it's pretty cool. It's got two buttons. Oh, here we go.
Larger than that, you need...
Oh, it's playing the Freedom Fiends. But it's got like, it's got a bunch of shows. It plays some fiends. This one will probably not go on it. We got a little blue, but it's Tom Woods Show, Mises Institute audio articles, Ron Paul's podcast, Free Talk Live, Mises Weekend, William Grigg, Freedom Zealot, Jason Stapleton Program, Free Coast Radio, Neo Cash Radio, Who Will Build the Roads Podcast, The Inner Tube Show, The Complete Liberty Podcast, Freedom Fiends, and select Ben Quaker episodes, and then edited episodes, edit out cussing, Dangerous History Podcast, and Libertarians on Fire. There's no show clock. It's just a random feed, but very listenable, very fun to listen to.
Is and Libertarians on Fire still a thing?
It's at cussfreeliberty.org. No, but he's got like, well, I don't know. He hasn't put up an episode in months, but he's got a bunch of episodes and they're really good. So
yeah,
I cut out some cussing and put them in there. So, all right, man. Anyway, I don't want to go and miss what I was going to say because I got to pay this off. So DNA scientist Kevin McKernan, his opinion, his statement, I don't want to call it opinion. It's science. He's a scientist. His statement on many genders and many sexes. He said, we count chromosomes in genetics to sort this thing out. There are no clinical ACMG call we can make other than male, female, or some extra chromosome XY call like those three that we talked about. He said, and this is so choice. If you're going to make more genders than those, you shouldn't stop short of 7 billion.
Yeah.
Well, he's right, though. He's not right, though, but the 7 billion is probably the more accurate. It's not.
He's not right or he is right?
Well, he's partially right. He's partially right.
Okay, the scientists are partially right, and you're right. So tell me why you're right.
Well, I'm going to read. I want to read an excerpt from a book written in the 1800s.
All right. Stay on top of it.
For the latest up-to-date information.
All right.
From Max Stirner's book.
It's all true.
From Max Stirner's book, Stirner's Critics. You are more than a human being, therefore you are also a human being. You are more than a male, but you are also a male. But humanity and masculinity do not express to you exhaustively. You can therefore be indifferent to everything that is held up to you as true humanity or true masculinity.
Fight Club.
It's not.
Isn't it?
No.
Sounds like it.
But you can always be tortured or have tortured yourself with these pretentious duties. Still today, holy people intend to grab a hold of you with them. So that, to say that, people weren't calling out the gender, because you mentioned it a little bit, people were calling out the gender norms and stuff well before the movements of cultural Marxism and all that kind of stuff.
I don't know. That to me sounded less about what we're talking about and more like,
well, that is about
hang on. It sounds like it sounds to me like you're more than a man, like you're a spiritual being or something.
It's the exact opposite of that. All right.
I was interrupting you, so I didn't really hear it. So you should have, it's your fault. You shouldn't have stopped me from interrupting you.
No, it's, I mean, there's no binary between the thing. It's just, you are who you are. That's you. It, you know, the whole I'm this gender, I'm that gender is
what's your
nonsense.
Gender? You identify as what? It's something pretty
cool. I identify as a 1967 Cadillac Eldorado, hot pink with whale skin hubcaps and all leather cowl interiors and big round baby seal eyes for headlights.
My wife remembered some of that when I was talking with her about gender. She's like, I was like, yeah, my co-host, James Weeks, he identifies as a, and she rattled off like three or four of those 8 or 12 things. Yeah, it's funny. It's memorable.
I identify as a Moog theremin.
Hey, you need to do a, you need a, an acronym, James, for whatever that is.
Well, I was just testing the length of Facebook's thing. That's what that was about.
All right. I'm about 99%, man. I'm like 1/64th female, so, but I'm not going to make you honor that. Good show, guys. At least what I heard. I'm sure it was all good. Because it was you guys.
And everybody stop.
Let's do it all at once. 1, 2, 3. That's some good radio, fellas.